What if your phone went dark and never turned back on? What if every car engine died mid-traffic? Planes fell from the sky? Hospital monitors flatlined? Supermarket shelves emptied in less than 48 hours? And no one, not your town, not your state, not even the military, could do a thing about it? This isn't science fiction. It's called an EMP. And the scariest part? The US government has been quietly preparing for it behind closed doors because they know what's coming. You ever hear of One Second After? It's a novel. Fiction. Sort of. The story kicks off with one simple event. A high-altitude electromagnetic pulse, aka an EMP, detonated over the United States. No warning. No explosion, just silence. The kind of silence where power grids fry, pacemakers shut off, and grocery stores go from full to feral in about a day and a half. Now here's the kicker. That book? It's on the recommended reading list for Congress, Homeland Security, military officers. They're treating this fictional story like it's a damn instruction manual. Because they know something the rest of us don't. Or maybe, just something the rest of us are too distracted to care about. And it's not just theoretical. In 2008, the Congressional EMP Commission warned, that a single nuclear detonation at the right altitude could knock out the entire power grid across the continental U.S. for months. Think no phones, no refrigeration, no medicine. No water pumping stations. No fuel. What would that look like? Think The Purge meets Little House on the Prairie, with way fewer moral lessons and a lot more people getting stabbed over canned ravioli. So, is this just fear-mongering? Another doomsday clickbait scenario? Or is this the one disaster scenario we're actually not ready for? Because if One Second After is even half right, we're not looking at fiction. We're looking at a preview. Hey, if you're still here, it means you're not just here for the surface level stories. You're chasing something deeper, like we are. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe. Because if we don't build this community, the algorithm isn't going to help us and no one's going to tell these stories at all. All right, onward. One second, everything's normal. Kids on iPads, coffee brewing, airplanes gliding overhead. Your biggest problem is whether DoorDash forgot your sauce again. Then, nothing. No bang, no flash, just the quiet hum of a normal day, gone. You don't even notice at first. Your phone glitches. The microwave blinks. The lights go out. Maybe you curse the electric company and check the breaker. But it's not just your house, it's the entire grid. Now your car won't start. Your neighbor's generator doesn't kick on. You look up and you see something terrifying. Dead silence from the sky. Planes dropping. No engines, no comms. Just falling like toys across every horizon. Within 10 minutes, over 3,000 commercial flights are unaccounted for. Tens of thousands of lives gone. No emergency response. No communication. Every system designed to keep society from unraveling, fried instantly. Hospitals, out. ICU patients on ventilators, done. Insulin, spoils in hours. Water, stops flowing by the end of the day. Why? Because those pumping stations everyone forgets about? They run on electricity. Sewage backs up. Gas stations are dead. Police radios stop working. Cell towers? Toast. And food? Don't even think about restocking. Just-in-time inventory means most grocery stores have 3 days worth of food, max. By day two, shelves are stripped clean. By day five, pharmacies are looted. The elderly start dying in their homes. Babies dehydrate. Emergency services collapse under their own weight. And here's the worst part. It's not just the stuff that breaks. It's what people become when it breaks. This isn't a Hollywood apocalypse. No zombies. No supervirus. No aliens. It's worse. It's us, unplugged. And every second that ticks by after that EMP, you're not just losing convenience, you're losing civilization. And this isn't science fiction, folks. This is war-gamed, testified to, government-acknowledged collapse. The 2008 Congressional EMP Commission warned that a single nuclear EMP over Kansas could knock out the entire U.S. power grid. That's not fringe speculation. That's from Dr. William Graham, former White House science advisor and lead on the EMP Commission, who told Congress that up to 90% of the U.S. population could die within a year in a full-scale grid-down scenario. No electricity means no supply chains, no refrigeration, no water treatment, no modern medicine, no law enforcement. It's the slow disintegration of order, what Homeland Security calls a black sky hazard. And you want receipts? Well, the Department of Homeland Security has held multiple classified simulations under the name Black Start, Black Sky Scenarios. NERC, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, has issued repeated warnings that the U.S. grid is not hardened for EMP threats. Conplan 8888, Dark Winter, and Rex 84, they're all real continuity of government plans, all based on scenarios where society fails and leadership survives. And maybe the scariest part? Some researchers believe we've already had test runs. The 2003 Northeast blackout, blamed on a tree branch, but independent analysis shows strange grid behavior before and after. The Texas freeze of 2021, officially weather-related, but multiple power stations failed at once, triggering what looked eerily like a grid segment collapse. Not confirmed, not proven, but enough breadcrumbs to keep thinking people up at night. This is what one second after gets right. The horror isn't the blast, it's the silence, it's the waiting. Because once the lights go out, the countdown begins, not just to collapse, but to who we become without civilization watching. You hear electromagnetic pulse, and it probably sounds like something out of a sci-fi B-movie. But in reality, an EMP is one of the quietest and most devastating weapons ever conceived. No flames, no explosions, no mushroom clouds, just lights out permanently. And all it takes is one well-placed nuke detonated about 300 kilometers above the US to unleash an invisible wave that fries the power grid like a bug zapper on Red Bull. This isn't fringe, it's physics. A nuclear detonation in the upper atmosphere generates gamma rays. Those gamma rays interact with the Earth's magnetic field and atmospheric particles, triggering something called the Compton effect, which blasts out a surge of electrons at near the speed of light. This cascade induces voltage in wires, circuits, and antennas, and poof, anything with a chip, fuse, or diode, toasted. And there's not just one pulse, there are three. E1, the first burst, think nanoseconds. This is the one that takes out microelectronics, your phone, your car computer, your pacemaker. E2, like lightning, but on steroids. Normally, we'd protect against this, but only if the E1 pulse didn't already wipe out the breakers. Then there's E3, the slow burn killer. This one fries transformers and big infrastructure. The kind of stuff utility companies can't just swap out like an iPhone charger. Let's talk numbers. According to the 2008 Congressional EMP Commission, not Reddit, not InfoWars, this is Congress. An EMP could disable 70 to 90% of the US electrical grid. That includes critical substations, satellite links, SCADA control systems, and water pumping infrastructure. The commission literally said this, and I quote, "The US can be brought to its knees within minutes by a single high-altitude EMP. Receipts? Here you go." Do you still think this is sci-fi? Let's rewind to 1962. The US ran a little test called Starfish Prime. We launched a nuke 1.4 megatons, 250 miles over the Pacific. What happened? Streetlights in Hawaii blew out. Radios went dead. Burglar alarms tripped across Oahu. And this was over 900 miles away. That was 60 years ago, with tech that wouldn't even power a microwave today. Now, fast forward to 2020. The US military quietly updated its EMP readiness protocols. Same year, the Department of Homeland Security released their EMP Executive Order Implementation Plan. And just a few years prior, North Korea openly published doctrine outlining EMP as a first strike weapon. So yeah, it's real. Even Russia and China have integrated high-altitude EMP weapons into their strategic planning, according to open-source U.S. intelligence reports. Source? The U.S. military's annual report on China's military power. This isn't tinfoil theory, it's war doctrine. And here's the kicker. None of this tech is exotic. You don't need a $1 trillion arsenal. You just need a single nuke and a launch platform, like, say, a satellite or a cargo ship parked off the coast. In fact, Iran has already tested missile launches from container ships in the Caspian Sea. And yes, it freaked the hell out of the Pentagon. So the next time someone tells you an EMP can't happen, hand them a flash drive with the EMP Commission report, a link to the Starfish Prime test, and ask why Congress, Homeland Security, and military brass are all reading 1 second after. They're not prepping for aliens. They're prepping for silence. Let's walk through what really happens when the grid dies. No, not in theory, not in a Hollywood CGI fest. Just a grounded day-by-day account of what life would look like if this country got hit with a high-altitude EMP. Day one, you wake up and the power's out. Your phone's dead. Your car won't start. The refrigerator is off. No big deal, right? Maybe a blackout. Maybe a solar flare. Maybe your neighbor's meth lab finally exploded. Whatever. You'll figure it out. Until you look outside and notice everybody's having the same problem. Cars stuck in the driveways. Gas stations are dark. No cell service. Not even a dial tone on your landline, if you still even have one of those. And then someone turns on a battery-powered radio and realizes it's not just your neighborhood, it's the entire country. Day two, denial starts to fade. No ATMs, no credit cards. Stores are cash only, if they're even open. And let's be honest, nobody has cash anymore. Water stops flowing in urban areas. Most city pumping stations run on electric motors. No power means no pressure. You try flushing the toilet, and it just doesn't. People start draining local reservoirs and swimming pools for drinking water. Grocery stores are packed, not by shoppers, but by looters. Cops are overwhelmed, radios useless, and backups not coming. Hospitals? Running on fumes. Backup generators aren't built for long-term use. They're meant to bridge the gap between outage and repair. And guess what's not coming this time? Day 3 to 7, collapse begins. Perishable food spoils. Diabetics start rationing insulin that needs refrigeration. Those with CPAP machines, oxygen tanks, or dialysis appointments, they're in trouble. Traffic lights are dead, roads are chaos, and emergency vehicles, the ones that still work, can't respond fast enough. There's no coordination, no comms. And then it hits. Pharmacies run dry. No antibiotics. No antidepressants. No refills. Mental health patients crash hard. Parents get desperate. Kids get sick. Elderly neighbors quietly slip away in their homes. The second week, tribalism kicks in. The grocery shelves are empty. Trucks aren't coming. Why? Because modern trucks are computers on wheels. Newer diesel rigs have engine control units, ECUs, that are fried by an EMP. Even if you had an old analog truck, where's the fuel? The pumps don't work without power. And this isn't speculation. The EMP Commission confirmed that over 80% of our food arrives via long-haul trucking. When that stops, you've got about 3 days worth of food left in any major city. People start organizing by neighborhood, some to help, some to take. Week three and beyond, the slow burn turns savage. No waste disposal. Trash piles up. Human waste becomes a real hazard. Waterborne illnesses surge. According to the Department of Homeland Security's Black Sky Hazard Report, sanitation collapse would trigger a public health emergency within 30 days. That's their language, not mine. By now, we're back to pre-industrial living, only without the skills those folks had back then. No refrigeration, no reliable heating or cooling, no medicine production, and good luck finding a doctor who knows how to perform surgery without machines or light. And the government? They're gone. Not dead, just relocated. While you're bartering for rice and batteries, the feds are tucked into bunkers at Raven Rock, Mount Weather, and Cheyenne Mountain. Thanks to plans like Rex 84 and the continuity of government directives going back to the Cold War. You want receipts? Here they are. Here's the bottom line. We're not prepped. The average American household has less than 5 days of food, no backup power, and zero plan for water purification. You're not just losing convenience when the grid goes. You're losing the entire ecosystem we've built modern life on. And nobody's coming to save you. So by now, you're probably thinking, okay, maybe this EMP thing is real, but come on, if it's that serious, wouldn't the government have done something? Oh, you sweet, trusting summer child. They did, kind of. Let's rewind to 2008, when the Commission to Assess the Threat to the United States from Electromagnetic Pulse Attack, an actual federally funded group of scientists and defense experts, delivered its report to Congress. Not a Reddit post, not a fringe blog, a full-on classified, then declassified report. And what did it say? It said this, I quote, "A single high-altitude EMP detonation could disable the entire U.S. power grid and 90% of the population could die within 1 year due to starvation, disease, and societal collapse." Again, that's their language, not ours. Here's the kicker. They updated the same report in 2017 because apparently we didn't listen the first time. Their conclusion? Still not ready. Still catastrophic. Still nothing done. Now let's talk about the Department of Homeland Security. In their Black Sky Hazard reports, DHS warned that sustained nationwide power loss, whether by cyber attack, EMP, or natural disaster, would result in a multi-sector irreversible collapse of infrastructure. Their solution? Workshops, exercises, PDFs. But ask them to actually mandate hardening the grid? Nah, too expensive. Because spending money now to prevent 300 million people from starving later apparently doesn't fit the budget. Then there's NERC, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, the people who oversee our grid security. What's their track record? Well, they were warned in the early 2000s that our high voltage transformers, the backbone of the entire grid, were vulnerable. Some of those things take 18 months to replace. They're mostly made overseas. And in an EMP scenario, you would need hundreds of them. Did they fix it? Nope. They ran some simulations, wrote up some voluntary resilience guidelines, gave some PowerPoints, but as of 2023, fewer than 10% of transformers nationwide are EMP hardened. And let's not forget Congress. Multiple Senate hearings have addressed this threat. You can find transcripts where senators ask grid operators why nothing's been done, only to be told it's not cost effective. In 2019, the Department of Defense warned that Russia and North Korea have developed EMP-specific weapons as part of their strategic planning. Want to know what they've actually done? Passed one executive order in 2019, Executive Order 13865, directing agencies to evaluate and coordinate EMP preparedness. That's it. Four pages, a memo, no funding, no mandatory upgrades. Just another reminder that when the lights go out, Congress will still be holding committee meetings by candlelight, wondering where in the heck their Uber Eats order went. And maybe you're thinking, but surely someone somewhere is doing something behind the scenes. Sure, they absolutely are. For themselves. Look up continuity of government bunkers, doomsday reserves, off-grid facilities for military and elite personnel. They didn't build those because they read too much science fiction. They built them because they know. They always knew. We're not unprepared by accident. We're unprepared by design. Let's be honest. When most people imagine the grid going down, they picture food shortages, maybe a blackout, and then they shrug it off because they've got a Costco membership and some flashlights. But when the power doesn't come back, the people break long before the systems do. And here's what nobody talks about. Society doesn't unravel all at once. It rots from the inside out. This isn't Mad Max. It's something far worse. It's the slow psychological breakdown of an overcomfortable society that's forgotten how to do anything without an app. You want proof? Look at Venezuela in 2019. Nationwide blackout. Water stopped. Refrigerators turned into biohazard boxes. Hospitals were full of corpses. Looting. Mass panic. Homemade water filters in sewer pipes. This was a country with an oil wealth and infrastructure, and it collapsed in less than a week. Let's look at Hurricane Katrina, an American city, mind you, where within 3 days of losing order, you had murders in shelters, cops abandoning their posts, and FEMA literally turning away supplies because of logistics. Why? Because psychology breaks before infrastructure, and the government knows this. FEMA's own crisis playbooks include behavioral markers for when people snap. They call it psychological triage. You hit day three without water, panic spreads. Day five without food, organized crime emerges. By day 10, you're not in society anymore. You're in survival mode. According to a Rand Corporation study on prolonged grid down scenarios, urban populations begin splitting into three psychological groups. First, the passive. They freeze, they wait, and they die hoping help's coming. Number two, the aggressive. They loot, they raid, and form gangs. Three, the adaptive. They go tribal, they bunker down, and weaponize trust. Now here's where it gets darker. The CDC has documented how mental health disorders skyrocket during prolonged disasters. In Puerto Rico, after Hurricane Maria, suicide hotline calls increased over 246% within the first 60 days alone. That's with partial electricity. Now imagine no power, no meds, and no hope. And you think America, with our online addiction, anxiety epidemics, and TikTok attention spans, is built to handle it? We haven't built resilience. We've built fragility. And guess what collapses first? Not the buildings, the social contracts. When antidepressants run out, and they will, people crash hard. Over 15% of Americans rely on SSRIs. Without them, you're looking at an unfiltered wave of anxiety, psychosis, and rage rippling through every town and suburb in the country. That's not fiction. That's from Harvard Medical School's 2017 study on pharmaceutical disruption during disasters. And you want to know the most terrifying part? This fragility is known, documented. The EIS Council's Black Sky Reports and FEMA internal training docs openly admit that social cohesion breaks down within 14 to 30 days of a prolonged blackout, especially in high-density urban zones. Translation? We are 72 hours away from madness, and nobody's telling you. They're too busy issuing public service announcements about earthquake kits and extra batteries while quietly running continuity of government simulations where they survive and we don't. So don't kid yourself. When the lights go out, morality dims right behind it. This isn't about preppers and bunkers. This is about human nature in a power vacuum. And when that vacuum hits, you'll see exactly what civilization was holding back and what it never prepared you for. So now that we've walked you through the nightmare, let's ask the question no one in power wants to answer out loud. Who's actually capable of launching an EMP attack on the United States? Because make no mistake, this isn't sci-fi. This isn't alien death rays or solar flares from the gods. A nuclear-based high-altitude EMP, the kind that could fry everything from Maine to California, is a known military option. It's cheap, asymmetrical warfare. No ground troops, no aircraft carriers. Just one warhead detonated around 300 miles above U.S. soil, and the lights go out. And guess what? That exact scenario is already in dozens of military white papers from the Pentagon, DHS, and foreign defense ministries. Let's break it down by who could actually pull this off. Number one, North Korea. Yeah, Kim Jong-un's vacation slideshow of missile launches isn't just for laughs. North Korea has tested long-range ballistic missiles that reach the U.S. mainland, some capable of carrying a small nuclear payload. And EMP strikes? They've literally talked about them. In 2013, North Korean state media explicitly threatened to use a high-altitude EMP strike to destroy America's infrastructure. The EMP Commission warned in its 2017 report that North Korea may already have the tech to do it and could launch from a satellite in orbit or even a freighter in the Gulf of America. One warhead, one burst, 1 second after. Number two, China. Don't think they're not watching. China has written about EMP as a first strike weapon in its official People's Liberation Army, PLA doctrine. Their 1999 strategy manual, Unrestricted Warfare, openly promotes asymmetrical attacks on civilian infrastructure. Yes, that includes cyber, biological, and EMP attacks. They've got the satellites, they've got the nukes, and most importantly, they've got the patience. Number three, Russia. Cold War playbook, still in play. The Russian Federation's military doctrine includes EMP attacks as a strategic tool to cripple NATO command and control. And unlike North Korea, Russia's warheads are definitely big enough to generate the kind of EMP needed for a continent-wide takedown. Also worth noting, Russia has conducted atmospheric nuclear tests with the specific goal of understanding EMP effects. Look up Test 184 in 1962. That's not theory, that's a receipt. Number 4. Rogue actors and false flags. Here's where it gets stranger. Let's say no major nation wants to start World War III. Could a non-state actor pull this off? A terrorist cell? A cartel proxy? Someone backed quietly by a nation that wants deniability, like Iran? The answer, if they get their hands on a warhead and a launch platform, is unequivocally yes. And what about false flags? If that makes you roll your eyes, look up Operation Northwoods, which I've created a video on. It's a real declassified Pentagon plan to fake attacks on US citizens to justify a war. It was signed off by the Joint Chiefs of Staff in 1962. JFK shot it down, and we all know how that ended. And here's one last twist. A report from STRATCOM, the US Strategic Command, warns that space-based EMP weapons are a growing threat, especially from covert satellites already in orbit. Translation? The weapon might already be up there. But no one's going to tell you that. Not until the lights go out. And by then, it's too late. So let's say the worst case scenario hits. EMP detonation. Grid down. Nation in chaos. Question is, what happens to the government? Well, simple answer. They already left. You see, while you're figuring out how to purify pool water and trade batteries for Tylenol, the federal government has already flipped the switch on something called COG, continuity of government. And no, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is real. Documented system designed to keep a skeleton version of America's leadership intact when everything else falls apart. Let's start with the bunkers. Ever heard of Raven Rock, Mount Weather, or Cheyenne Mountain? They're not just Cold War relics. These are fortified, fully staffed underground command centers, wired with independent power, water reserves, and enough food to last for months. The FEMA COG strategy outlines how federal leadership is relocated to these hardened sites during a national catastrophe. Not you, not me, just them. Want receipts? FEMA's own Continuity of Operations Plan, COOP, details how government agencies are expected to keep functioning in all hazard environments, including grid collapse. The REX 84 plan, originally designed for mass civil unrest, gave the federal government sweeping powers to declare martial law, detain civilians, and suspend the Constitution in an emergency. Still, it's technically active. And the Presidential Emergency Action Documents, the PEDs, we don't even know what's in the most of them. They are secret executive orders ready to activate in the event of a societal collapse. Let me make this clear. The plan is not to save everyone. The plan is to preserve leadership, maintain the chain of command, keep the flag waving, whether or not there's anyone left to salute it. And while that sounds harsh, it's not even hidden. In a 2016 Department of Homeland Security report, they openly admit that in the event of a catastrophic EMP event, priority protection will be given to government leadership, essential defense operations, and key infrastructure personnel. Do you notice what's missing? The rest of us. There are no government plans to feed us, no strategy to keep your city livable, no secret caches of food and water for the general public. The average American? You're expected to shelter in place and improvise. And you know who gets a personal escort to Raven Rock? Not your grandma with the oxygen tank. Not your kid with asthma, but the mid-level bureaucrat who updates spreadsheets at the Department of Agriculture. Cool. So the next time someone tells you the government wouldn't just abandon us, tell them they already did. They wrote it down, printed it, funded it, and now they're waiting for the signal. The rest of us, we're not on the list. Okay, so let's take a breath. Because yeah, this is a lot. And if you've made it this far, your brain's probably doing cartwheels trying to figure out if you should learn how to hunt squirrels or start bartering your Funko Pop collection for iodine tablets. But hold up. This isn't about fear. This is about not being one of the people caught flat-footed when the lights go out and your neighbor starts roasting rats over a trash can fire. Because if there's one thing one second after gets right, it's that the first few days are everything. If you're calm, fed, and thinking straight in that window, you're already ahead of 90% of the population. So let's talk about what you can actually do. Step one, water. You don't need a bunker, you need clean water. FEMA says the average person needs 1 gallon per day. If you have a family of four, well, that's 28 gallons per week. Start storing. Use sealed containers. Get water bricks. Toss in purification tabs or grab a bunch of life straws. Step two, food. No, you don't need a panic pantry full of 25-year powdered cheese. Start simple. Dry rice, beans, pasta, canned tuna, peanut butter, anything that's shelf stable. Build up 2 weeks. Then work up to a month. Costco literally sells 30-day emergency meal kits. That's not paranoia, that's inventory. Step three, medicine. Here's where it gets real serious. If you or someone you love depends on daily meds, blood pressure, insulin, asthma, talk to your doctor now. Ask about 90-day refills. Build a small backup. You don't want to be negotiating your child's inhaler with a guy holding a crowbar and a can of Spam. Step four, power and comms. Solar phone charger, a crank radio, extra AA batteries, backup lighting that isn't just candles from Target's Cozy Vibes section. If you can swing it, invest in a solar battery bank. Even a small one lets you power essentials or charge radios. Step five, sanity and community. This part gets overlooked. In a blackout, people lose their minds fast. Build relationships now. Talk to your neighbors. Share resources. Don't be the lone wolf, unless you are a wolf, in which case, carry on. Community beats chaos, and it's the one prep you can't buy on Amazon. Now let's clear something up. This isn't a call to go build a bunker. This isn't about fear-mongering. This is about dignity. Because when the power goes, the panic follows. And people who are prepared, even a little bit, don't have to become part of the madness. And by the way, even the government tells you this. FEMA has a full 72-hour emergency plan page. The Department of Homeland Security's Ready Initiative recommends every household be able to go at least 3 days without services. Even the CDC, yes, that CDC, has a zombie apocalypse survival plan. No joke, look it up. And I have a video coming up on their zombie preparation plan. So no, prepping isn't crazy. It's not for the insane. Pretending this could never happen, that's crazy. Because even if it's not an EMP, what about a cyber attack? A major storm? A power grid overload? We've already seen those. This is just being human, responsible, grounded. You don't need to be scared. You just need to be ready. And it starts with one decision, not to wait for someone else to come save you. If the lights went out tomorrow, who would you become? Not in the first hour, not on day one, but after the silence drags on, after the panic fades and something colder takes its place, resignation. That's what 1 second after really shows us. It's not about bombs or enemies or technology. It's about the quiet war between who we think we are and who we become when the structure collapses. We live in a civilization built on convenience. Electricity isn't a luxury. It's the backbone of everything. Medicine, food, communication, law, trust. When it's gone, we don't just lose power. We lose identity. And yet, the truth is, this story isn't just about what's taken away. It's about what might still survive. Because what collapses in a blackout can also be rebuilt in the dark. And sometimes, when the systems fail, people step up. The dad who figures out how to rig solar panels to power an oxygen machine. The teacher who turns a school into a safe house. The kid who learns how to purify water and shares it with his neighbors. The communities that come together, not because they were told to, but because they chose to. That's the part we forget. That even when the grid dies, humanity doesn't have to. We're not just passive victims in a disaster waiting to happen. We're the most adaptive species on Earth. And that means the ending isn't written until we decide how it ends. So yeah, this video might have scared the hell out of you. Good. Because sometimes fear is the spark that starts preparation. And preparation is how you buy hope. This isn't about waiting for the government. It's not about bunkers or barbed wire. It's about deciding right now that when the next disaster hits, you won't be the one holding an empty flashlight and asking, "Now what?" You'll be the one with a plan. You'll be the one who helps. And if enough of us do that, then maybe the story of 1 second after doesn't have to be our future. Maybe it becomes our warning shot, the one we actually listen to. If you made it this far, thank you. Seriously, I'm Ralph, and this has been Divergent Files. If this video hit you hard, if it made you think, or even just made you uncomfortable in a way that felt real, hit like, subscribe, and feed the algorithm gods before they unplug us next. Look, YouTube doesn't fund this. No sponsors, no safety net. It's just us and hopefully you. If you want more deep dives like this one, stuff too raw or too real for the main feed, join us over on Patreon for as little as $3 a month. Early access, extended episodes, and support that literally keeps this channel alive. That's at patreon.com/divergentfiles. And if you want to hear what we can't say here, the Divergent Files Project podcast is live. No filters, no censors, no pulling punches. It's available wherever you listen. You're not just part of the audience. You're the reason we exist. So drop your thoughts below. Pitch a theory. Suggest a topic. I read every single one. And this community? It's smarter than most think tanks. Until next time, stay sharp, stay human, and remember, you are truly appreciated.